Hey, welcome to episode 171 of the Bobbycast, and glad you're here. By the way, check out, I got a couple new podcasts up. Caroline Hobby has a podcast called Get Real with Caroline Hobby, and to be honest with you, I've known Caroline for a long time, but I did not know of her podcast until Eddie said, hey, she did a really good one with Caroline Bryan, Luke Bryan's wife.
It's a good one. Like, I didn't think I'd really be interested in people's wives or spouses in general, and it was really interesting.
She's done a lot of talks with a lot of the wives of country music stars. So search for Get Real. If you listen to this, obviously you know how to podcast. I always find that's a bit difficult for people, and for me too, especially, because people are like, do I have to buy it? Is it? And so I try
to find them too. Yeah. It's not easy.
Yeah. So Get Real with Caroline Hobby. Check that out. There's just so much up there. Eddie's in here. We're going to talk about comedy music for a second. We obviously have... And by the way, on the backside of this, Mike D interviews Lil Dicky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which he was like... which I like. Lil Dicky's funny to me. I remember Lil Dicky from back in the day when he was like... There was a music video he did where he goes up to the house and is like,
yeah, save that money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes up and pushes the button and the rich person answers. And he's like, hey, can I like use your house for a music video?
Yeah.
And then he goes into this hilarious music video.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I just pulled up a picture of Lil Dicky. I know exactly who this guy is.
So Mike D will have a talk with Lil Dicky coming up in just a few minutes here as he talks with him. The Freaky Friday was his last song with Chris Brown.
Yeah.
That was huge.
It was the biggest song.
Chris Brown's body. I remember the controversy, and I don't know what you talk about in the interview. I haven't heard it yet. Do you talk about the N-word part?
No.
There was a girl in college, and because it's part of the song is like, Lil Dicky's a white guy, Chris Brown's a black guy, but Lil Dicky's like, now that I'm black, I can say the N-word. And then, but it's Chris Brown saying it, and you know, but so this girl at a university, a white girl, was singing along, oh. And it was this big controversy. Can she say it? It was a whole thing.
Oh.
So, but I imagine you guys did not go there.
We did not get into that, I know.
let's hit a minute. The history of comedy music and some of the stuff I wonder if people know. Like, for example, me, when I was a kid, I was a big Adam Sandler music fan.
Me too.
I mean, the Hanukkah song.
To me, he was the king of this stuff. That just goes with our age, I guess.
Yeah. Do whole albums,
yeah,
and I used to, like Lunch Ladyland, yes, all of that, and so yeah, me too. I would buy them tapes,
tapes, and then CDs,
yeah, and then CDs. The song was written by Adam Sandler with two writers. It was performed by Sandler on Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update. He'd pull up to the desk. That's where he'd do like Opera Man.
Yes, Opera Man.
He would
start at
the desk.
Weekend Update.
He performed this song as part of a stand-up act, and then this is it.
Instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights.
Which became a movie later.
So that reached number 25 on the rock chart.
Two other writers, huh? Interesting.
Well, I always pictured it was just as a comedy bit.
Yeah.
I mean, and...
Explain that, because you do that. I mean, you did a comedy tour and you had to write stuff. Like, did you have writers for any of that?
But this was like an SNL bit, which is different.
What this was?
Yeah, the Hanukkah song was originally written as a Weekend Update bit.
Oh, I thought
so
he just went on to play.
So all those pitch writers are, we should do the Hanukkah song.
Got it.
And then he ended up doing it in his stand-up act. But like the songs that I perform in stand-up, I've written with either you or Brandon or
right.
Nikita. So all the songs, for example, like we had a comedy record, Eddie and I, The Raging Idiots, went number one on the comedy chart.
Mm-hmm.
But we all those songs were written by us and different, you know, none by myself.
I guess when listening to Adam Sandler and doing all these by himself acoustically, I just pictured him doing them and writing them himself.
But I wonder if people, for example, like if I get up and sometimes I'll play this by myself at a stand-up show. Not on piano, I'll play on guitar. I won't shake the leg, but it's Sunday. They probably think I wrote that by myself.
Right.
And I wrote that with Mike D and Brandon Ray. I was doing stand-up. I was doing stand-up, and we were in a hotel room, right?
Yeah, in Wichita.
And we were like, we're bored. It was the daytime. Nothing was open. And we sat in the room, and we were like, let's write a song about Chick-fil-A. So we did. And that's how it became together. It was... I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. I want the fries. So that's what the Hanukkah song was, just a song.
Right.
It was written by multiple people. You ever read Steve Martin's book?
No.
Born Standing Up?
No.
I think it's... maybe my favorite book, that or How to Win Friends and Influence Others.
Right.
But when he would do music, like King Tut, this was a massive song before we were even.
I don't know this.
King Tut?
Now, if I had known the line of just to see him, I'd take all my money and bought me a museum.
1978, before we were born.
I can hear that.
It was performed by the Toot Uncommons, which was actually members of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Really?
It was released as a single in 1978, sold over a million copies, reached number 17 on the Billboard Hot 100. He used to he was like the first comedian to do stadiums, and he would do it with just a like a terrible PA system because there was no way to. He used to do this trick. I'm just such a fan of Steve Martin. I took his master class on that thing where you subscribe and like learn. What's that called? It's called master class, right?
Yeah.
I took his master class.
You pay for that? And
yeah.
You take it?
It was so good. He used to do this bit where he'd be in a stadium. There'd be no cameras to put up on the Jumbotron, and he'd do it like a hidden penny trick. And he'd be like, check it out. Now you see it. Now, but nobody could see it because he's so far
so
away
far
anywhere.
Yes. I love it.
So
And the book was really good?
It's my favorite.
Really?
It's a little slow at the beginning, but all biographies are slow at the beginning because you're just learning about, well, I was born here. That's what my dad did.
Yeah.
But to me, yeah. But this was really the big one that started it. He did this on SNL. And it was like on the major chart. Like, I wonder, what's number 17 on the Billboard chart right now?
Let's see.
But this was the top 20 Billboard all genre song.
Then it's a comedy song.
Steve Martin did, yeah. Ray Stevens was a big part of my childhood, which
yes.
You didn't know much Ray Stevens.
I didn't know much until you kind of introduced me to Ray Stevens, which is bizarre.
The Streak was the second number one on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart. It spent 3 weeks in 1974. It reached number three on the Hot Country singles chart in 2019. He's going to the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Huge Ray Stevens fan.
I saw him driving down the street the other day.
You did?
Yeah, in I think it's like just a Chevy Tahoe or something like that. You know, just right down Music Row.
Weird Al was a big part of our lives.
Oh, come on. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it, eat it.
Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken. He did parodies.
Yes.
And
different than original comedy songs.
Yeah, because he would ask permission.
That. Yes.
These are already songs that were made. He would just redo the words. And
he'd have to go to these writers and say, hey, I wrote a song that makes fun of your song.
Sort of. You don't have to. You have to give them all the money.
Yes. Oh, you do? All of it?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Because there was a point where I was like, hey, we should put our parodies up. And so I reached out to some songwriters. And I was like, hey, what if you just give me 10% and we'll split it? And you guys can have all the rest because you wrote, but they wrote the melody. You're just using all their work to piggyback.
Correct. And you're just changing the words around.
Yeah. So,
wow.
But I remember once he asked Coolio. I think Coolio said no and did it anyway. And it was dramatic. Weird Al, you know the Coolio story?
I don't know that.
He even did
something on Gangster's Paradise.
He did Smells Like Nirvana and got their. Smells Like Teen Spirit and got their permission. Nirvana.
Wow.
And they were even like, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. That's a big one. Here's Chris Rock. Remember No Sex in the Champagne Room?
I do remember that.
And there's no sex in the champagne room.
This was jam for a minute.
Don't go to parties with metal detectors. Sure, it feels safe inside, but what about all those waiting outside with guns? They know you ain't got one.
Chris Rock, funny. I'm on a boat, Lonely Island. Huge song.
Huge.
They would play this out. We would go in Austin on Lake Travis. And everybody would be tied up. And,
yeah.
And T-Pain was in this. That's big for Andy Samberg.
It's another SNL original.
Mm-hmm. Pick a Destiny from Tenacious D. I was never a big Tenacious D
Me
guy.
Either.
Mike D, were you?
I love Tenacious D, yeah. That movie's awesome.
Jack Black and Kyle Gass. Because it's a pain, a destiny child. You know it will be rocking because it's flipping insane. It's just a pain. I went and watched this movie and thought it was terrible.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe because I wasn't in the right headspace for it. But by the way, we're putting, and by the time you hear this, it may be out, but our new Raging Idiots live song, Jesus Knows, is going to be out. Jesus knows when you're on a red light at 2 a.m. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Jesus knows when you fill your water cup with soda. We were sitting around, and we wrote this song. It's me, Eddie, and Brandon Ray. We were at the house, and we were like, well, let's write a song. And I think, Eddie, your song, I think you said, hey, what do we do a song about? I'm going to get you pregnant. Remember that? Do you remember this conversation?
I want to have your baby.
Yeah, what was
something like that. It's something where, like, you know, it's like sexual. You want to tell the girl, like, I want to have your baby. I like you so much right now. But the joke is, like, you can say, I want to, like, change diapers. I want to do stuff that no one ever says they really want to do when they have a baby. But that's how much you want a baby with her.
And we never wrote that song.
No, never got done.
Because I was like, what if we do a song like, whatever we do, Jesus is watching.
I think you said it like 30 seconds after I said that. You're like, I have an idea. And they were like, oh, a song about Jesus. Interesting.
Yeah, and there's no joke in it except everything that you're doing that you think is trivial that nobody's watching, Jesus is watching.
Well, the thing is, you know, like when you first said it, it's like tricky. Like, ooh, you know, like people, I don't know if they get offended by stuff like that because we're not say anything bad about Jesus. We're actually saying the truth about Jesus is like he's always watching, right? Yeah. But the joke is that you want to be relatable when you write these songs. And this is all relatable.
And everybody steals Netflix. Not everybody. I don't. But
not like, Bones. Have you ever
stolen Netflix? No, I don't think
never?
So. No. A Hulu I have.
See,
but
there
the
we
line
go.
But the line's Netflix. It's like use your friend's Netflix account. You think that Netflix won't ever find out. You think you're getting away with watching Narcos.
You're not.
You're not, because Jesus knows.
Right. And even like the water, you know, getting a water cup at a restaurant and then filling it up with soda. Come on, dude. I've done that so many times.
Yeah, it's in the actual chorus of the song. Jesus knows. When you run a red light at 2 a.m. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Jesus knows. When you fill your water cup with soda. Nothing gets past him. When you think nobody's watching and you're all alone, you're wrong. Because Jesus knows. We recorded that live in Boston, which was on St. Patrick's Day, and they were all drunk.
And I do like seeing people when you sing the song. They kind of look at each other, and they're just like, yeah, I totally do that. That's me. That's me.
Here is from a number one comedy album. This is from 1963. Do you know this one?
Hello, mother. Hello, father.
Yeah.
Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining. And they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking.
Who is this?
Alan Sherman.
With Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner. He got ptomaine poisoning last night after dinner.
It's funny, Leonard Skinner.
Yeah, Leonard Skinner.
Yeah. We got that emo. We got a whole bunch of songs. Listen, Eddie and I are just bad interpretations of these really great people.
These are great,
yes.
Great comedy songs.
I do think that it's our best work, our live album that's coming out.
Yeah? That we've ever done?
Yes. Because it's an experience. There are people that are laughing. You hear when jokes hit, when they don't.
Yeah.
There are songs you haven't heard yet. I think people still like Namaste. Don't know nothing about yoga at all. Probably gotta hit the road, but not. But our live record coming out, I think, is our bet. I think it's our first like standalone. Somebody you can just listen to it and think it's funny without knowing who we are.
I agree.
Most of the time you gotta like know us, but like, oh, that's funny. I know that, man. That song's novel and funny. I think this live record, some people will listen to it without knowing us and go, oh, that's pretty good.
Well, some of these songs that we've played already, like they got radio play. Like you said, the Steve Martin one. I mean, I remember Adam Sandler being on the radio.
Yeah, the Hanukkah song, and not only that, but. Let me pull up the Adam Sandler list.
Lunch Ladyland was...
No, there's another one, though. The Thanksgiving song.
Oh, Thanksgiving.
Oh, they want to hear the Thanksgiving song.
I think still every Thanksgiving they play it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have them up here. Here we go.
They want to hear the Thanksgiving song.
Love to eat turkey all night long.
This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it. Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey.
I love you.
I love you.
But is this the one where he says, all I hear is clapping?
Yes. He's like, he stops them from clapping in the middle of it.
Turkey, turkey. Of course it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat. So good. That clapping's messing my head up, man. I appreciate it, but I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping.
Did you watch his special?
No.
On Netflix?
No.
Dude, it's the best one I've ever seen.
Really?
His new one.
Current?
It's the best one. It's the best comedy. Mike, I've had some time away from it at this point.
Right. And I rewatched it.
I went, and because we were doing Dancing with the Stars, and I had like 3 hours in the evening once, and I was like, I got to watch this Adam Sandler special. And I walked out and told Mike D, I think I watched it first, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I said, I'm fresh off of it, but it's the best special I've ever seen.
Really? Of all time?
It's not traditional.
Okay.
I will say this. It's the most entertaining comedy special I've ever seen. Dude, I cried at one point in it.
What?
Watch the Adam Sandler Netflix special.
I just wrote it down. I'm going to have to watch it. What? You cried?
And I don't know if part of it's because we grew up with that. I don't know if 19-year-olds think it's funny.
Well, I bet that's a huge part.
But, dude, you watch it and then tell me another one. I would watch that before you watch Eminem 8 Mile.
Okay.
Mike, did you think it was great?
I thought it was great. And I rewatched it like last month again. And I was like, this is still really good.
Really?
So Eddie and I are going out and doing shows. I don't even know where we're going yet. The tour's not fully booked yet. We're playing Biloxi, I know. But we're going to go out and play a two-man theater show. But I'm bringing a keys player with us. And it's something I'd always wanted to do because it's easy. It's one person who can do background vocals and play keys. And I didn't do it on my last comedy tour, but then I saw Adam Sandler did it on his show, and I was like, oh, it's so cool. I have to do it now.
Oh, Adam Sandler uses keys in this one?
He's a keys player. And I didn't have the guts to do it, and I didn't want to pay for it. But then it was so cool because you got to pay for their travel and pay them every show.
I've seen your eyes light up when a key player comes into the studio. Like you look at him and you're like, dude, can you play Tiny Dancer?
I never pulled the trigger, but when Eddie and I go and do our shows, it's just us two and a keys player.
Yeah.
And so
we're going to be like, hey, can you play?
Yeah. And we're just going to sing along
with by Ben Folds.
And here, we can't do comedy songs without this one here, which was when I was a kid. This freaking song from Bill Engvall.
Here's your sign.
Here's your sign. All over country radio.
Here's your sign.
Travis Tritt.
Here's your sign.
It's not, what's his name?
Who?
Bill
Engvall?
No.
Bill Engvall's a comedian.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, this is Bill Engvall right here. Ready?
When I was home, I was driving around. I had a flat tire. I pulled my truck in one of these little side of the road gas stations. The attendant walks out, looks at my truck, looks at me. I swear to God, he went, tire, go play it? I couldn't resist. I said, nope. No, I was driving around. Those other three just swelled right up on me.
That was a big one, man. That's Travis Tritt, right?
Yeah. You got Travis Tritt to do the hook. I love it. We're not dealing with the
planet of eggs. We're talking about the... Anyway, there you go. That's just a little funny comedy deal. And
You don't have Cheech and Chong?
I don't. I didn't put that up.
Oh, dude, that is...
And it's funny because Mike D was looking at some of these too, and he never pulled up Cheech Chong.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, see, I forgot about
that. That was a huge inspiration for me, like, growing up. And mainly because my parents were like, don't watch that. But then I would go to cousin's house, and of course they'd be like, dude, you have to watch this.
Mamacita. You know Santa Claus and the Old Lady?
Yes.
Mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? The vato with a bony knees, he's coming down the street with no shoes on his feet, and he's going to... No, that ain't it. Mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? The guy with the hair on his jaws, hey, man, come over here, man. I need some help, man.
Hey, man.
Yeah, man. what are you doing, man?
So was Cheech and Chong big with, like, all your Mexican friends?
Yes. It was huge. Yeah. My family. Like, it was just huge with our family. We would bond through Cheech and Chong. We would quote Cheech and Chong. We would say, like, I'm telling you, we would be at my cousin's house, and they'd be like, oh, we're watching Cheech and Chong. I'm like, dude, we watched that last week.
Up and Smoke.
I
never really Cheech Chong fan.
Smoke 'em All, I think, was one.
The weed stuff kind of made me not want it. I was so anti-drug. I was just surrounded by it all the time.
Yes. We talked about it like it was normal. None of us ever did it. Yeah. Like, I still really have done it like a handful of times, but that wasn't a part of my life. But talking about it and joking about, yeah, man, like, here's this and that. Like, it was no big deal.
Mike, anything we missed? Any comedy songs? I'm sure people are going to hit me up and go, how'd you not think of so-and-so?
Well, that one got me. I should have remembered that.
Cheech and Chong.
For sure. Yeah. As a fellow Hispanic, Mike.
I know. I was more post-Teach Money after that.
Well, Mike D's interview with Lil Dicky coming up. I woke up in Chris Brown's body. Does he have a new song?
Yeah.
Is it called Earth?
We love the earth. It is our home. Hi, I'm a baboon.
So is this like the history of Earth?
It's like a environmental awareness song, and he has a bunch of artists on it.
Oh, really?
It's Justin Bieber.
It's not funny?
Oh, that's Justin Bieber?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, Justin Bieber's being a baboon.
Yeah.
I'm like a man, just less advanced, and my is huge. Hey, I'm a zebra.
Ariana Grande?
Yeah.
Nice.
No one knows what I do, but I look pretty cool. Am I white or black? I'm a lion cub.
Okay, that's...
Dua Lipa? No.
Nope.
Hold on.
And I'm always getting licked.
Oh, that's Halsey.
Halsey.
Yeah. That's it.
How's it going, avocado? You drink milk from a...
I don't know who that is.
Zac Brown.
That's
what?
Zac Brown.
Yeah.
The one country guy I didn't get.
We didn't.
Like, I'm nailing all the pop people. But I wouldn't know. I wouldn't have got that ever.
Didn't sound like him.
I'm a fat pig.
I'm a common fungus.
I'm a disgruntled skunk. Shoot you out my butt.
Get you.
I heard Snoop in there.
And I'm Kanye West.
We love the
Kanye, just Kanye.
Was that Kanye?
It's Kevin Hart.
Or Kevin Hart.
Kanye.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's being Kanye. Yeah. That's funny. Well, that interview is coming up. Mike D and Lil Dicky. Let me talk about this first. Today's technology makes it a lot easier for a lot of things because you're connected. Your cell phone is connected to your tablet. Your tablet's connected to your smart TV. And they're all connected to your Wi-Fi. But it may take only one weak link and all those connections for a criminal to get in. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security. While LifeLock uses proprietary technology to detect possible threats to your identity, like your info for sale on the dark web, Norton Security helps protect up to 5 of your devices from online threats like ransomware. And if there's a problem, their dedicated agents will work to fix it. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton gives you more protection for today's connected world. Join now, get 10% off your first year. Head to LifeLock.com, enter the promo code BONES. That's promo code BONES for 10% off your first year. LifeLock.com, promo code BONES. So how'd you get ready today? Did you shower, brush your teeth, wash face, style your hair? I'm asking because as a proud member of Dollar Shave Club, I'm here to tell you that no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. You want a clean mouth and fresh breath, right? The intense peppermint flavor of Dollar Shave Club's toothpaste will wake you up and last a surprisingly long time. Their hydrating body cleanser smells awesome. Skin feels great after you shower. But I hope showering and brushing your teeth are just part of how you get ready. But no matter how you do, Dollar Shave Club has everything that you need. And I haven't even mentioned their razors and shave butter that everybody knows them for, including myself. Right now, you can get a Dollar Shave Club starter set for just $5 each. They got a shower set, a toothpaste, a toothbrush set, all their famous shave butter, the razor. Any of those sets, just $5. And it's the best way to try out their amazing products. It's a great gift. After your starter set products ship at a regular price, right? Get yours today, dollarshaveclub.com/bones. dollarshaveclub.com/bones.
All right, we got Lil Dicky on now. What's up, man?
Not much. You?
I'm a big fan, dude.
Thank you.
I think ever since the Save That Money video came out, I've been really following you, dude.
Well, it is great to have you on board.
I've been listening to your new song called Earth, and you have all these artists on here doing animal voices like Justin Bieber, Ed Sheeran, Katy Perry. How do you get all these artists on this song?
We love the earth.
So, you know, it started with I got my friends, like a select few of my friends. Like I reached out to the people that I was friendly with the most, like between me and the guy who produced the song, Benny Blanco, we have a lot of relationships, you know, and we started with who we were closest with and said, hey, we're making a song where different artists play different animals. Would you want to do it? It's like a very short part. And then we got like a group of like 5 to 7 people on it initially. And then once you get like 5 to 7 people on it, it's easy to go to people who you aren't even as close with and say, hey, so I've got this song with Ed Sheeran, Charlie Puth, Justin Bieber, where everyone's playing an animal and everything's for a good cause. Everything's to help save the earth. Would you want to do it? It only takes 10 minutes to record. And people were very receptive.
Like, who do you think has the most distinct voice out of everybody? Because I was listening to it. And like for me, I think Adam Levine as the Vultures stuck out to me.
Really?
Like, it's when they just, like, grasp me, like, oh, that's Adam Levine.
Right. I tried to get, you know, I treated it like a movie in the way that, like, you know, for casting. Like, I tried to cast people that had really distinct voices. Lil Jon is pretty distinct with the Clam. Like,
oh, yeah.
I feel like I hear that, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's Lil Jon. Who else is really distinct? I mean, Ariana, like, how do you not know? You know what I mean?
That's
like,
just belting out.
Yeah. Oh, she carries the back end of that song.
I'm a zebra. No one knows what I do, but I look pretty cool in my white or black.
But yeah, like, even Lil Yachty, I feel like I just wanted to have people that, like, you know, I feel like Lil Yachty, I think of him and I think of his voice. So I wanted to get people that I thought you could identify with their voices.
So when you approach a song like this, do you write it like a hip-hop song, or do you approach it like a comedy sketch or like a movie, like you were saying?
This song's just its own animal, no pun intended. Like, it's not really like a, like, I remember the initial version of it didn't have a rap verse, and it was just like the animals and the hook, and I was thinking, I'm barely even on my own song. So then there wasn't even a rap verse. So then I said, I gotta have a rap verse on, you know what I mean? So we added, and we made a whole rap beat and added that part of it. With this song, it was a long writing process. Like, I just thought of, I like went online and researched all the animals and just like thought of like what the coolest, funniest animals would be, and wrote a ton of different jokes and melodies for different animals. And then me and Benny just picked our favorite ones and jigsawed it together. And I can't even compare this song to another song that I've made because it was just such a different process.
Because I was thinking like a song like Pillow Talk, and that song's like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was very long.
When you're in the studio doing a song like that, does it get to a point where, like, you're thinking, is this still funny? Do you have to, like, convince yourself again that this is funny?
It depends. Like, I mean, by the time I'm done recording this, like, anything I do, I'm so close to it that I do lose, like, all concept of what's going on. So I have, like, a small circle of people that I send stuff to, you know, and they'll tell me if it's funny or not.
And for you, is, like, the concept of the song as important as the music video? Because the music video is, like, a really big part of your songs.
I think, yeah, I mean, I definitely need music videos for my songs to thrive, but, you know, like, I don't think people are going to watch the music video on mute, but I think a lot of people are going to listen to the song on Spotify with no music video, you know what I mean? So, or like on the radio. So I think the song is the most important part, because without that, there is no video.
I saw Justin Bieber just followed you on Instagram. Is that pretty cool?
What a moment, huh? Yeah, yeah. What a moment. I feel like, I've made it.
Do you, like, instantly get a bunch of people following you after that? Because they, like, go see who he's following? Because I don't think he follows a whole lot of people.
It's I'm sure I did. I don't really pay much attention to the, like, I turn my notifications off.
And you don't post a whole lot.
Well, you know, I'm kind of, like, in this period of, like, where I've just been working on my album and doing stuff, like, behind the scenes for a while. And I think once I really come back, and, like, with Earth, for example, Freaky Friday was the last song I put out. That was, like, over a year ago. So I'll be posting more when I am putting more stuff out, but I feel kind of badly posting, like, hey, look at what I'm doing, when I'm, like, working and not putting music out. You know what I mean?
Because your last album was, like, five years ago?
4 years ago. It's been a while.
So
yeah.
You have a new thing working?
Yeah, I'm working on a new album. It's almost done. I feel like I need, like, one or two songs left to make, but it's great. I think everyone's going to love it, and it'll be hopefully out this year. I just need to have one or two more songs, and then my itches are fully scratched.
Do you still get people, like, yelling at you online, saying that you're, like, not hip-hop?
Probably.
You care about that?
Not really, because honestly, like, anytime I meet a rapper, they're like, man, you rap your ass off. So it's like, I really care what rappers think about me more than what Joe Schmo does.
Because I've seen your freestyles, man. You go off.
Oh, I'm an elite rapper. So yeah, that's why I don't really get concerned.
You've heard the Old Town Road song, right?
Yeah.
What do you think? Country song or hip-hop song?
It's like a high. It's a both. Both. It's a great song. Whatever it is, it's a great song.
You know Lil Nas X?
No.
Did you ever do anything with him?
I have no idea. I've never met him. I've heard one song. Let's see if he can do more.
Yeah. I mean, I think he put out, like, maybe one other one, but I like the
good
song. It's pretty good.
It's
a straight
one.
Hip-hop song, yeah.
Okay, I'll have to send me a link.
So you're also doing, like, a TV project with FX?
Yeah. Yep.
That's about your life?
Loosely, yeah. It's loosely. It's like not totally fact-based, but it's, you know, about a guy who, you know, it's me. It's about me and about it before I was really any sort of accomplished, and I've always kind of had a high belief of myself, and it sounds okay now when I say I believe in myself and I'm putting out like a song like Earth, but 5 years ago when I believed in myself to this extent, I think my girlfriend at the time and my parents thought I was insane. So it's kind of starting there, and you'll see the rise of a rapper in modern day America.
So you play yourself?
I play myself.
Is it like anything like, because I think of Effects and I think of Atlanta, which is a show I love. Is it any kind of style like that?
Different show. You could say they're both kind of based around the hip hop world to an extent, but I think Atlanta, I don't know. I think they're pretty different shows, different tones, but Atlanta's probably like one of my favorite shows on TV.
Oh, that's good. I love Donald Glover, man.
I do too.
So how'd you team up with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Well, so I knew that for Earth, like, I don't think like I should be like making money off this. Like, we have an environmental crisis going on. I need to like raise funds here. But at the same time, I know nothing about the environmental space and the nonprofit space. So I wanted to work with someone who was who knew what was going on and how to approach this. And one of the biggest things that woke me up to the climate crisis in general was watching his documentary Before the Flood. So that, in tandem with, you know, being such a fan of his as an actor, like he's like the LeBron James of acting, you know what I mean? Yeah. Of my generation. And, he literally wins Best Actor, waits his whole life to win the Oscar for Best Actor, goes on stage and makes a speech about climate change. And I always respected that. So
what's your favorite Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
Wow. No one's ever asked me this. I mean, Titanic is the first. Catch Me If You Can. Catch Me If You Can.
It's a good one. But he won the award for The Revenant. Did you see that?
Yeah, I've seen it. Not my favorite. I liked it.
I thought it was crazy. Gets attacked by a bear.
It's cool. It's awesome, but it's nowhere close to Catch Me If You Can. I go Titanic 100% over The Revenant.
Okay.
Dude, anytime Titanic's on TV, I'm stopping everything I'm doing and watching until the end.
All 4 hours of it?
Whenever it is.
I mean, that was one of the movies that was like in the two VHS tapes.
It's so good still. Old Rose.
Yeah.
I mean, Old Rose.
Well, the song is called Earth. So all the profits are going to help the environment. You can go to welovetheearth.org.
Yeah, you can go to welovetheearth.org to learn. I mean, people should, like, honestly, I don't know if people are aware about what's going on. I didn't even know anything about this until I made this song. I had, like, a vague idea that, like, oh, we're doing something wrong with the environment here on Earth. I didn't know that if we don't change everything about our behavior in the next 12 years, the damage is irreversible and, like, Earth will become uninhabitable within our lifetimes. It's kind of shocking. Like, every scientist says, yeah, that's totally true. Yet people, I feel like, are just, like, coasting, being like, I don't know, but it's true. Look into it.
Yeah, everybody go check it out and read up on it. We'll appreciate the time, man.
Thank you.
All right, good talking to you.